Hello and welcome to Presenting, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder and Starfinder, but also others. I'm John Godek, and with me today is Rob Pontius. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, John. Happy to be chatting with you.
Yeah, it's good to finally connect with you. You know, I've been trying to interview everybody on staff, and of the people that were here when I first got here, I think you're the last one.
Yeah.
So I apologize for taking so long, but you've been busy, you know?
So much going on. It's been that kind of couple years.
Oh, yes.
Well, work COVID has been.
Yeah, the COVID has just been nuts.
Yes. And I'm in the web industry, so we've been very busy.
Oh, that's actually probably been a boon for your industry, I imagine.
It's been my company, I joined my company on February 29th
of
2020? Yeah, gosh, I can't even think years. Right before everything kind of hit.
Wow. And
it became just a whirlwind of change and difference. And I've been hiring, growing my team the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I can imagine.
Yep.
So you all may know Rob from the Order of the Amber Die or Gehenna's Gaming's first series of Monster Hearts 2. He currently writes No Direction's Investing In blog and is also a player on our Valiant podcast. And he's on the Roll for Combat's Three Ring Adventure. He's been a lover of tabletop RPGs for over three decades as a gamer and a gamer. You can find him on social media at Silent Infinity. And I was going to ask you, I'm always curious when people have different social media names, where does Silent Infinity come from?
Long time ago, I would say that I was like listening to things and I was always a fan of the infinity symbol. I don't know, as like a kid. Okay. And I would just say all's quiet. So that's where Silent Infinity came from.
Okay. You know, sometimes
it's
like
proliferated long term.
I have a name that I used for a very long time. And it's just because I read it in a book and I used it in one game. And then every game I was ever in, I used. But when I started getting serious here with my podcasting, I thought I'm just going to do everything. All my social media is just under my name. Makes it less confusing. For me, anyway.
It works. I carried over an email address I had from AOL into Gmail. And I still have people occasionally email it going, I always wondered if this maybe was you.
Wow.
But one of the characters, because I did role playing through those text rooms so long ago.
Yeah.
Would say, you know, I would go by Silent Infinity as well. So people also have found that. So it just kind of worked out.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I have a social media name, a gaming name I used for a long time. And I did a lot of writing under that name as well for internet blogs and, you know, stuff for companies and things. And so even now when I go and Google that name, those things still pop up. And so it's like, oh, this is interesting. You know, I wonder if anybody has done this. I've tried to divorce myself of that because that's like my prior life, you know. But I wonder if anybody's tried to track that down or not. I don't know. All right. So, Rob, you know, can you tell me a little bit about how you joined the network? This is actually, I think, the first time we've actually chatted. And I realize I don't know much about you at all other than what I read in your blog.
Yeah. Wow. It's kind of a series of events that all felt kind of like magical and fun and cool. About 3 years ago, it was right before New Year's of 2018. I was already a patron of Order of the Amber Die for Paizo, who would do marathon games, like over 4 days, sometimes 3 days, of a path module, the entire path to get through the game, and sometimes test it or sometimes just do it for fun, etc., and like post up the pictures, etc. of our gaming together, full immersive, where you know, you're taking like maybe 7 hours of your day to sleep and eat, but otherwise you're playing the whole time. Right. And so I had been following them, and they asked me right before New Year's 2018, oh, you know, we're thinking maybe of adding some people in. You've been a close fan, and we saw how you were starting the Strange Aeons, and you built mm-hmm. things up with Dwarven Forge, and you drew the whole asylum. What do you think? And so I joined them. I did like a couple like fun games with them. I started participating in Ruins of Aslant, and I went to Gen Con 2019 after not going for 10 years.
Yeah.
And Steven Glicker from Roll for Combat was going to be mm-hmm. running a game in the hall and was looking for people, and asked Adam, who's, you know, the GM, mm-hmm. one of the founders of Order of the Amber Die. And Adam's like, oh, we're busy doing some other things, but, you know, our friend Rob here, new recruit, is available. So I got to play Ezrin, who I'd been playing for Ruins of Aslant.
Right.
I met Parham. I met Vanessa. Mm-hmm. I met Steven. I met Lauren. They were all part of the game, too.
Wow.
And like just chatting and having a good time and role playing. And then Parham's, I think I mentioned Parham. We were like looking around the expo hall, and I mentioned, you know, I haven't been here in 10 years, and I'm so happy with like the cultural embrace I've seen of people, the friendliness, how much it's grown, etc. I feel like I'm going to write something about it. Mm-hmm. And Parham said, well, you know, we do guest features every so often. You want to have a place to write that? Let me see what you write. And so I wrote it up and I shared, and he and Ryan were like, hey, yeah, let's put this up as a guest blog feature. That was my first article, which technically isn't part of Investing In because it was just about Gen Con 2019. Mm-hmm. And then they said, hey, you want to do this long term? And I was like, yeah, I'd absolutely love to. And that's how I got involved. So it's kind of like a series of events that all happened within a year. That's why I say it was kind of magical.
Yeah, no, it's wild because you were going there anyway. Or were you going there because of the Order of the Amber Die, though?
I went to Gen Con just to go to Gen Con. I had already bought my tickets. Or I don't know. I hadn't bought my tickets yet because of the way Gen Con tickets go on sale. But I had already planned to go again after 10 years mm-hmm. because things were like more stable with work now. Mm-hmm. I'd gone for years after college and then stopped as things got busier and I'm building my career. And then I was like, oh, I want to go back. I miss it. A couple of my friends had thought about going but didn't. So I was already going to Gen Con, but I had joined Order of the Amber Die. Right.
Okay. So it wasn't like that caused you to go to the Gen Con. You were going anyway. But I'm just looking at the dominoes here when you talk about, you know, a series of fortunate events in this particular case.
Yeah, it really was. And then ultimately, Steven said, hey, I really enjoyed your role-playing in the dichotomy, you know, the interaction you had with Lauren and Vanessa. Do you want to also join a podcast with us? Which was like, well, yeah. So it just, all these things kind of all at once. And I just, you know, I often feel like I have this imposter syndrome because I'm just a guy, you know. But I've made some great contacts and these are great people. And I love talking about gaming. So I feel very privileged in that regard.
No, I think that's awesome. I wanted to get it on a podcast and I had to make my own. Nobody wanted to bring me in. So it's like, shoot, you know, I was asking Lauren the same thing. I said, man, how do you guys get invited to so many different things? You know, I keep waiting for those invites and they're not coming. I got to be doing something wrong. I don't know.
I rolled a 20 and I just got lucky.
So anybody out there listening, if you got a podcast out there, I'm happy to come and guest, you know. Anyway,
let me know. So call me up.
So, you know, I was reading through your blog, Investing In, and it looks like you cover a lot of different topics, conventions, including just coming back from PAX Unplugged. How was that?
Yeah, PAX Unplugged was great. And I realized, because I usually do like a lead into a convention and then a follow-up mm-hmm. now. I did mm-hmm. that for PAX 2 years ago, PAX Unplugged 2 years ago. It was my first time. And mm-hmm. I realized writing it, I was excited about some games and, you know, seeing some things and dice. But I was really just more excited to see some people especially mm-hmm. people I've been gaming with online for the last couple mm-hmm. years that I hadn't met in person yet. So it was really about seeing the people. Still tried to keep it kind of isolated. I'm glad it was a vaccinated only event with masks. Right. So, you know, we were safe best we could. But it was really about seeing the people and just very exciting to be there. And I think everyone felt that from an emotional, almost like spiritual mm-hmm. perspective. You can't replace that closeness or the ease of conversation, like sharing a meal. It's just not mm-hmm. the same online.
Yeah, I look forward to going to conventions. I went to quite a few right before the pandemic, the two previous years. In fact, Gen Con 2019 was my first Gen Con.
Ooh.
When you're talking about that. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I was going to go to PAX Unplugged 2019, but then my schedule got all wonky, so I couldn't make it.
But December can be a hard time for a convention.
Yes. Yes. And I have a immunocompromised situation because of a kidney transplant. So I'm really leery about travel right now.
Yes, very fair.
So that's and my team transplant team doesn't really want me to go to big convention, big events of any sort yet. So I'm really kind of chomping at the bit. But getting back to, you know, kind of your blog, so you're doing some of these conventions and you have inspiration from, you know, games and outside, where do you come up with your topics? I mean, how do you know what to do?
That's Ryan and Paramass. They're like, all right, you know, we love your conversational, just mm-hmm. positive, open style that you wrote for the Gen Con article you did for your guest blog. Let us know what you're thinking for your series and we'll go from there. And ultimately came down to, I said, I really kind of want to talk about anything. And yeah. I feel like if it's what I'm currently really putting my energy in and I'm excited about, I hope that will translate well. And just there's so many like good people and good games and good things going on. I figured, you know, sometimes I'll try not to make it too chaotic, you know, bring it back to what the overall plan is. But I just wanted to be able to show what I was investing my energy. I say that all the time at right. work and personal life. You know, I'm investing myself in this. I'm investing my time in this. I say a lot that I can't make more time. You know, mm-hmm. That's a resource you just can't make more of. So you really have mm-hmm. to think about. And that's something also that Adam from Order of the Amber Die made me realize too. When you're doing campaigns and you're gaming with friends in different groups, you have to think about how many games are you really going to be able to do with the time you have between work and family and everything else. So choose what you're putting your time in, what I'm investing in. And there's always so much good stuff out there that I sold it as, you know, I'll talk about what I'm currently trying out as a game, mm-hmm. what I'm really like reading about, or what I'm just like seeing in the community and I'm excited about. And they were like, great, that sounds like it'll be awesome. So again, very lucky to be able to just write and express what I'm excited about.
You know, Ron and I have a podcast, Ron Lundin and I, and we're always looking to find stuff to talk about because we're supposed to be talking about Starfinder stuff. Yeah. But we just like to talk about whatever we're doing. Like, right. And so I'm thinking I should have pitched this as, we just want to talk about whatever we're working on that day. That might have been – because that's what we do anyway with a little bit of Starfinder stuff in there.
Yeah.
No, I think that's awesome that you're able to do that. Now, since you're doing that, I don't think anybody else can do I'm just going to write about what I'm doing that day type of blog, though. I think that spot's already taken.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I'm happy to share if someone gets excited about something. I do majority of the time I'm talking about Pathfinder, especially 2E. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge mm-hmm. Lost Omens lore fan. I'm big into mm-hmm. the story. My group that I currently run for is very big role players. Mm-hmm. and most of them I've been playing with for years, college or even before for some of them. So I really enjoy getting those Lost Omens books and talking about right. the lore that you can find in those sidebars, you know, buried in the details. I love the crunch and cool archetypes mm-hmm. and magic items and spells, but I eat up the lore.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm relatively new to Pathfinder and especially second edition. Mm-hmm. How does one get caught up on that lore when you're like just getting started?
I'd start with like the core book and like the world guide, and then start to really dig into areas that you find exciting. If you're passionate about it, you're also going to want to read more about it. So find the areas that are of interest to you. You know, do you want to look more into exploration? You know, are you looking for something a bit historical or cultural? Mm-hmm. You might be looking into the Mwangi or Assyrian. You might be mm-hmm. excited about pirates and want to read up about the shackles. And so you start mm-hmm. to see how all the history is woven into. If you're into high magic, you're probably looking into Thassilon and seeing mm-hmm. how they've woven all the paths together and mm-hmm. how they impact each other. Now, that was another great thing, how all the paths from 1E are canon, like some outcome of them right. pretty much heroic success, to the point that they've determined how now the world is proceeding, how cultures are evolving in 2E as part of the Lost Omens line. So I find that really exciting. If you find something that you're interested in as you read through the core book and the world guide, you're going to find some areas that you want to dig in deeper, and maybe you want to base a campaign there
mm-hmm.
or play in a campaign that's that, in that area.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm playing in a Abomination Vault campaign actually being run by Ron, and I played in a bunch of society play. The thing I feel really weak on, though, is like gods and lore, gods and magic and lore. And, mm-hmm. you know, the mechanics, I can figure that out pretty readily. It's like people are talking about stuff and I have no idea what that means. So I need to start reading up. So,
and that, now, I mean, there's certainly the books to do it. And the godly religious aspects can, I mean, especially where that can influence a lot of a world and its mm-hmm. people. That's a good place to start too, to if you're wanting to learn up more. Certainly if you end up being like a cleric or a champion, you're going to want to read up on that. Best right. game I well, ever that's... played was, are you familiar with the Dragonlance series?
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Yeah. So best campaign I think I've ever run. And I think all my, my players would agree, is I ran a Dragonlance game that was exclusively Wizards of High Sorcery. Everyone had to be a Wizard of High Sorcery, one of the orders, and they had to be different kinds of wizards. Like one was a transmuter and one focused mm-hmm. on combination of dagger and casting and the like. But we got very focused on, you know, magic is first before all else to a Wizard mm-hmm. of High Sorcery. Mm-hmm. So there was lots of like philosophical conversations and explorations of what the three gods cared about, you know. How would mm-hmm. Yutari and Solinari really feel about this? And I knew so much about Kryn and Dragonlance mm-hmm. that it enabled me to do that game. And it, as they are playing, they're like, oh, I want to know more about that. What novel series should I read? Who's right. this Dalimar guy? I want to read more about him. You know, who's Huma? Who's Magus? You know,
yeah,
the King Priest, the Cataclysm. What's going on? I want to know. And so they started buying these books and reading more about it. So now they all know a ton about Dragonlance because they got passionate, interested in these different aspects that made them want to read more, which mm-hmm. I'm all for as well.
Yeah, no, that's, when I was growing up playing D&D primarily, that we didn't have a whole lot of modules and stuff like that. I'm quite a bit older than you. So we would write homebrews based on whatever book series that we were reading at the time. Really? And so all of us were reading kind of the same books, right? And yeah. then we, you know, one of us would go ahead and GM a series of adventures going through that with the characters in the background and the magic and the gods, you know, all adapted to D&D. And I had so much fun with that. I love having an immersive environment. And my issue right now is I've been totally immersed in Starfinder for so long. Now I'm trying to get that immersion with Pathfinder. And I realize it takes a long time. You don't just suddenly get it. You know, it's something that builds up over time.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you playing now? So you said you're running some stuff. What do you play and what do you run?
I'm playing in a couple Monster Hearts games that play every other week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying out some 5th edition. I'm playing in a 5th edition game that plays every couple weeks. Of course, I've got Valiant that we play mm-hmm. For No Direction and Roll for Combat's Three Ring Adventure. So mm-hmm. I'm getting my Pathfinder fix in through that. But I'm running a Pathfinder 2E game. We're actually playing Saturday night mm-hmm. that I title Expedition Coalition. And I occasionally mention it in my article series. And it's really about a group that's formed to combat the different evils and dangers that are out in the world and how they might try to be acting to take advantage of the chaos and the danger. So the organization that they're kind of growing now, it's very small, feels a little Pathfinder Society-ish. And I think ultimately they'll become allies with the Pathfinder Society. But it's much more about getting to information or to objects before various groups might, like the Whispering Tyrant or dangerous Thessalonian rune magic practitioners, or, you know, the Chelish and the forces mm-hmm. of Asmodeus. So it's a bit, it still allows us to explore. And I started them in Riddleport and north of Riddleport. And mm-hmm. right now they're in Absalom and they're going to go to Mwangi. So it also gives us the chance to explore different areas that we're excited about. I'm excited about. And already they're like, oh, I need to learn more about that region. I want to read up about their culture, and we'll be able mm-hmm. to explore different areas. So I think that's kind of fun too.
Yeah, neat. Yeah. How do you like 5e is compared to second edition?
Oh, yeah. I figured you might ask. And I've been thinking about writing an article about it too while I get more of a taste of it. I've been playing a Warlock mm-hmm. because I loved the concept of the Warlock when it came out for third edition. I love mm-hmm. the feel of it. I am a critter. I watch Critical Role, and I've gotten mm-hmm. that's how I first really got my taste of 5e, was just watching that. 5e, I mean, it's kind of a different game to me almost. Like, obviously, you're mm-hmm. still role-playing and battling and fighting monsters. The very clear thing, and I'm not saying anything new, is that 5e is certainly easier for people to walk into, I think, because mm-hmm. the math doesn't change as much. There's less options. I think Pathfinder mm-hmm. 2E had more options at launch than 5e had at the time. Mm-hmm. But I really see the difference in some of the mechanical options. How much you want to role play is up to you. I think Pathfinder 2E has a larger, a grander scale and feel, where sometimes I think even inside the role-playing aspects, 5e can feel a bit more contained. Certainly playing a Warlock, I have very few options in my combat. Mm-hmm. And I've seen many people talk about, like, oh, I cracked open a 2e book and I saw all the options of how to build a barbarian. Wow, this is already so much, you know, so different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's our group, actually our Actual Play podcast, we took a break for a couple of weeks as we were getting a new GM to run us, and he wasn't available at the time. And we played some 5e, and I had not played D&D since like third edition.
Uh-huh.
And I was shocked at how different it was and how much I didn't like it, the changes.
It's, you know, compared to Pathfinder. Smaller, yeah. Contained, yes.
Yeah. You know, and
I did try 4e. I did not like 4E.
I've never, so I don't know. I've been getting into Pathfinder 2nd Edition, and I like it a lot. I am, you know, just now kind of getting more into society play and more into the APs, and I am enjoying the mechanics a lot, to the point where I really hope they revise Starfinder to reflect a lot of these things as well.
Yeah, trying Starfinder. I ran like a few adventures in Starfinder for my friends. And then getting 2E, we felt like Starfinder was almost like this prototype, like it led mm-hmm. to how they were thinking. Mm-hmm. So I could easily see a Starfinder 1.5 that aligns it more, right. Or a Starfinder 2 that aligns it with Pathfinder 2E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yeah, timing wise, I don't know when that would happen. I know there's that's a topic I'm sure that comes up, you know, from talking to people.
Probably one part sales and one part how long has it been?
right, for sure. So what's Monster Hearts about? That seems like a lot different game than all these.
It is. Monster Hearts is a game about the messy lives of teenagers in school, but you're also a monster. So,
oh, okay.
It's typically compared to, like, you know, a CW, WB kind of right. show.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's what it sounds like.
It is. It was written by Avery Adler, and it very much supports those who might be asexual, the full LGBTQ mm-hmm. spectrum, and it encourages not for you to, like, choose definitively who you are. It's more you're finding out whom you are, and so there are ways for people to possibly turn you on or piss you off that you didn't expect, and you have to decide, like, am I actually okay with this? Do I not understand how I'm feeling? So it allows people to kind of explore that. And each skin, as you were, a vampire, a witch, a fae, is meant to explore, like, different themes of being a teenager, like vampires and isolation or abandonment and fae, you know, feeling like they have too much energy and people, you know, write them off as being chaotic disasters, werewolves and their unbridled energy and aggressiveness that they're not sure how to contain. So it's a lot of fun. It tends to make for a lot of funny moments. And I had tried it at Virtual Horror Con that Gehenna Gaming ran right after kind of like COVID hit, you know, in March. Mm-hmm. I had seen it on Critical Role because they did a one shot of it. And I was like, oh, that looks like a lot of fun. Erika Ishii played the queen, which is meant to represent the, like, queen bee kind of character who, like, runs the school. Mm-hmm. And you can take it in as if they have, like, a supernatural ability to influence people and bring them in like a hive mind. But it could just be someone who's super popular and everyone wants to listen to what they say. Mm-hmm. Erika Ishii did so well with the team. I was like, oh, I want to try this game. So I tried it with Virtual Horror Con. And then Gehenna Gaming ended up asking Brian LaBerge, who was the storyteller, our MC for that game I tried. And Brian's like, hey, Rob, you want to be in a game that's going to be live on Twitch playing Monster Hearts? I was like, sure. And I got to play a vampire, which was a ton of fun. I made a little gamer vampire. And it definitely, not only having that connection with people through 2020, we ended the beginning of this year. We did two seasons of it, but it gave me something to look forward to. It really gave me a sense of community. It's how I met a lot of the people I just met in real life physically at PAX Unplugged, and helped me from, you know, a social aspect. I'm very extroverted, and living alone and not having any of that interaction was hard, but having that game and these new friends and these people was also very exciting. So it was somewhat exploratory as a game, but also kind of, like, you know, soul saving at the same time because of what we were going through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is it written by teenagers by any chance?
Written by them?
Yeah.
No.
okay.
Although lots of people release, because Avery Adler basically made the Monster Hearts 1 version, then released mm-hmm. a second version with a bit more of an update and fine-tuning some of the rules, and then basically said, hey, anyone wants to make extensions, new skins, mm-hmm. you go right ahead. And other people have made up, like, oh, here's how to play a deep one, a cultist of, mm-hmm. you know, Lovecraftian horrors and Cthulhu. Wow. So presumably there are teenagers out there who have written things for Monster Hearts.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I was just kind of curious because it really, I guess I'm just envisioning that it's older adults writing how they think teenagers would be. And I just hope they do a little bit of pilot testing for that.
Oh, I don't know. Certainly. Well, the core mechanic is around four different stats: hot, cold, volatile, or dark. And there's basic moves you can all make. Try to turn someone on, try to shut someone down, lash out physically or run away, try to keep your cool in a tense situation or quote unquote gaze into the abyss, whether that's the example that Avery gives without mentioning any specific book series or movies is, you know, the young woman who's discovered something strange about one of her classmates she's somewhat interested in and spends hours searching the internet for what they might truly be, just to discover they're a vampire. So there's all these like core mechanics to represent basically teenagers' difficult ways of interacting with the world and other people that aren't quite adult yet. You know, they can't just simply walk in and use diplomacy. And it can lead to some like PvP because there's some manipulation in there. But it's really about exploring how these people express themselves. I think it's also really good and something I first, well, not first noticed, but noticed when I went to Gen Con in 2019 after years, is there are lots of people, I think, in gaming communities that have some trouble interacting with other people, that they have some social anxieties or they have some difficulties, and gaming gives them a way to explore and learn sometimes that they don't feel comfortable with normally, let alone for some people, it's their way to escape or it's a way to feel more comfortable with themselves. And I think Monster Hearts also provides that for a lot of people, especially in the LGBTQ space, which is partially why Avery writes that specifically into the rules. Like, hey, there's going to be people here who might not, you know, be heterosexual. Be prepared for that.
No, I think it's an awesome concept. I think that that's great. And I like kind of the melding of, you know, a high school environment with all this backstory for monsters that we know, you know. So
it's really entertaining to see. And it's another improv kind of game. You know, the game encourages you to be feral, make the like exciting choice, cause drama, but it also then also encourages you out of character, like be saying why you're doing this, talk as a group about why, you know, use your safety tools, your X card, your lines and veils. You know, there's some topics people don't want to go into, so don't make them part of your game. And there's things that could come up you don't want to as well. And when you're playing teenagers who are trying to figure out their feelings, and there's violence and themes of sexuality, you need to have that too. So it's a good, positive gaming environment.
Well, that's good that you have those guidelines set up in advance. I think you know, there's a lot of games that will introduce content like that. And I think we have been lax in providing tools for people who can self-select out of it for whatever reason.
It's another reason I felt comfortable doing it is because Gehenna Gaming, I had seen by playing just a couple of their games at PAX Unplugged 2019, very good use of lines and veils. They have a full survey to, so people can note what they're comfortable with, what they don't want to see, you know, what should be a veil, what should be a line. And so not only did I trust Brian because I'd just played a couple games and been talking to them, but I trusted how Gehenna Gaming would be, you know, overall as a producer sponsor for this game. They have a great free tool online. I push it all the time. Anytime I'm talking about safety tools, X card, et cetera, you can download the form and use it for your games, and they use it for conventions. So everyone's coming because they run a lot of horror games, World of Darkness, Vampire the Masquerade. So
important, I've actually
mature things.
Yeah, I've applied to a couple podcasts, and I've had to complete those forms.
Yeah,
maybe I put the wrong stuff in, and that's why they don't accept me. I don't
know. Yeah, you definitely do have to unify. I'm sure. You know, I always, the one thing I add every time now is let's just not make COVID part of it. Like a lot of people are not interested in COVID content in their games, so let's make sure that's not in there. But like, I mean. And you can imagine all kinds of topics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, for sure. So you know, you've been pretty fortunate, but what advice do you have for other people who aren't as talented as you in making these connections if they want to start blogging or if they want to get involved in an actual play podcast?
I would definitely say get involved in things you're passionate about. Explore what you're passionate about. Learn about what you're passionate about. Read about what I say that for people when they're trying to figure out their career. I say it for their hobbies. Mm-hmm. And then express your interest, you know, meet people at conventions and games that way. It's certainly what I did. Talk about it on Twitter. Check out some of these groups. You know, No Direction has their Discord server. Roll for Combat has their Discord server. Gehenna Gaming does as well. So between getting involved in and expressing what you're passionate about, you can find other people that are. And, you know, maybe you're just playing some games, but eventually you might be playing a game and someone says, hey, I'm going to get involved in an actual podcast game or something on Twitch. Would you like to join us or check that out? And I think that's the best way. Or if you're feeling like you have the time and the energy to invest in it yourself, you could try getting your own going. Get something going on YouTube, on Twitch, and gather up your own friends or new people you've met so you can start your own podcast or game. Mm-hmm. One just takes more time than the other.
Yes, I can identify with that, running three podcasts now. So yeah.
I think the key is do what you're passionate about and it will pay off. And, you know, have the right people around you to encourage you and who celebrate your success and encourage you in following your passions.
I think that's awesome advice.
Yeah.
So Rob, what's next for you? What's coming down the road for you that you're working on or getting involved in? What's something you're passionate about and excited about?
I'm very excited to talk about all the new books coming. I actually have to go pick up my Paizo delivery that I always say it wrong. Paizo delivery that's just arrived at my clubhouse, so I can look into the new book releases, including the I'm gonna say the titles wrong because it's a long what is it? Monsters of Legend?
Well, Lost Omens, Monsters of Myth is what I'm seeing on my shelf right now.
Yes, Monsters of Myth and Absalom.
Absalom. Yeah, I just got those hardcover, I think, just this week. So.
Yeah, mine just arrived. Yeah. So it had to ship all the way across country. But I'm excited to dig into those and write more about them. I'm planning to do, depending on how things go from a health perspective, there's some site location visits I had set up before COVID that I was to do. Like I got to go to Dogmite right before PAX Unplugged 2019. But go visit Wormwood, go visit Dwarven Forge. I already talked to Wormwood while I was at PAX Unplugged this past weekend, so I'm gonna set that back up there. I'm in Rhode Island and they're in Massachusetts, so it's not a far distance. I'm working. It sounds like we'll be having a live streamed 5e game that I've been asked into. So stay tuned for that. Of course, more Valiant and of course, more Roll for Combat as well. So I'm very excited to be continuing those stories. I love my characters so very much.
Will you be coming out for PaizoCon if there's a face-to-face component this year?
Yes. Yeah, I had really thought about it, too. It's usually like right around my birthday as well, which because my birthday is May 21st. So it'd be like a little birthday present for myself. So I'm really hoping that it does happen and I will be getting out there.
That's good. That's cool. I don't really know what the status of that is. I'm hoping to have some involvement there. I'm more excited to see the No Direction folks in person because Dustin and Randall both live out here, and I do in the Seattle area. And even if I can't attend the whole thing, I'd still like to have a big barbecue and invite everybody over to my house.
Oh, so, that'd be great. I like to cook and grill, so if you want help, I'm there.
Well, I've been I have a smoker I've been working on over COVID, so nice. I'm getting pretty good at smoking pretty much anything you can put on the grill at this point. So we'll be taking requests prior to PaizoCon if everybody comes out. So
that sounds I'm all for that. And you know, late May, what better time for a barbecue?
Yeah, no, it'll be, the weather should be decent. I'm hoping things have, this Omicron has calmed down enough. And the vaccination rates here in King County are like 75% fully vaccinated. So the county itself is really good. I just, my concern is everybody coming in from out of town, what that's going to be like. So,
yeah. And that's the, different members of the PAX team that were working, you know, the enforcers doing their job, making sure people keep their masks on and reminding them like, hey, we saw you pull it down for your drink, but put it back up, you know, real quick. Different members of staff walking around, and I might have chatted up a couple, basically said, hey, we know different companies, different other brands and other teams that run conventions, let alone, you know, insurance agencies and the like, are watching to see how this went from an attendance and a post-attendance, you know, kind of sickness perspective, because they required vaccination and masks. So hopefully that leads to the right trend. Hopefully vaccinations continue to happen to the point that people who can't get them do not have to worry.
Right. No, for sure. Well, if it's a fully vaccination required convention and masks are there at PaizaCon, I think I'll be able to go. And so I'm hoping that PAX Unplugged went well enough that they can start their planning. And because I know that's going to start come January, they're going to start sorting that out. So
we'll
see.
I have hope and faith that'll get there. PAX Unplugged, I mean, obviously it wasn't the same size and same scope. Right. Like they only used part of the convention center, but also the Great Hall. But it seemed so smooth, and the feeling, you know, you could just see it, well, mostly in people's eyes. You couldn't really see it fully. I was going to say their face, but you couldn't really see their full face, but you could see it in the eyes. I found myself certainly getting teary, just kind of like looking as people shared, you know, what they were getting, and, you know, at a distance kind of interacting with other groups. So I'm confident people will be working and pushing even more towards that for the future and for next year.
Excellent. Well, Rob, it's been great getting this chance to know you. Thanks for coming on the podcast, and I really hope I get to see you this year at one or more conventions.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me. I know I can be chatty.
No, it's awesome. I love chatting people, especially getting to know other people on the network.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, John.